Okay, so the question is how this halacha fight. I mean, this is a nice idea. It's a nice idea of the mitzvah to actualize the ideas of creation on your personality. But I mean, but halachically, so what's the mitzvah? Is it mitzvah kriya? Is it mitzvah shmiya? Well, like, what's, how does it work out? Okay, and of course, what's the other side? Okay, what's the other side? So I want to say halachic point, just in formulation. Okay, and the formulation is like this. And it's similar to something I think Rav Chaim said by Mitzvah Shofar. Okay. Well, I'll get back to that in a little bit, okay? But the thing is like this, that I want to say is that the Maisa Mitzvah is Kriya. It's Kriya Shema. Okay? But the Kiyam HaMitzvah is in the Shmias HaKriya. Okay? In other words, the fulfillment of the Kiyam is through hearing of that which you read. Okay? Why is such a cumbersome formulation? I mean, again, that's cumbersome. Normally, a Maisa Mitzvah and the Kiyam go side by side. You pick up the lulav, that's the Maisa Mitzvah, that's the Kiyam, that you've picked up the lulav. But here, it's a cumbersome halachic formulation. But you have mitzvahs like that. I mean, the Kiyam isn't always one and the same with the Maisa. The Maisa Mitzvah is Kriya, but the fulfillment isn't that I read. It's not the Kiyam Mitzvah. The fulfillment of my Mitzvah isn't that I read. It's that I heard my reading. So of course I have to read, because otherwise I can't have the Kiyam. But the Maisa Mitzvah is the Kriya, but it's, so to speak, a setup for the Kiyam, which is the Kiyam of Shmiya. Okay? It's a complicated formulation, but the reason why is very, as we've explained, that's why the Torah chose such a formulation, because that's the whole idea of Mitzvah Kriya Shema, is to incorporate the ideas, and Shmiya is that which incorporates those ideas. But, so that's why, but halachically, the way it sets itself up is through a Maisa Mitzvah, but the Kiyam is in the Shmiya. Now, the other guy, okay, the other guy is going to say is that that's cumbersome formulation. That the philosophy, the idea behind it of actualizing the, you know, the ideas or whatever, don't warrant such a halachically difficult formulation. And therefore, he says the Mitzvah is Kriya. Okay, the Maisa, the Mitzvah is Kriya. So it's true. Why is Kriya chosen? Because Kriya normally brings with it the actualization of the ideas and all that, and you know, that's true. But halachically, the mitzvah is Kriya. Halachically, it's Kriya. In other words, that idea of actualizing the personality was responsible for the choice of Kriya, that it's not just thinking about it, but it has to be a Kriya. But Kriya is a normal halachic formula. But the question is does that idea of actualizing the personality, does that warrant setting up a halachically difficult formulation, where you have this like a split between the Maisa Mitzvah and the Kiyam Mitzvah, or do you say no, that you can't give on the halachic tzura, is simply it's Maisa Kriya, and that idea of actualizing is responsible for the choice of Kriya, but it didn't incorporate Shmiya, Kiyam Shmiya, into the Mitzvah. So they all agree with that idea, which we were saying yesterday, but the question is, was that idea transformed into a halachic structure? In a somewhat complex halachic structure? Or did the beauty of the halachic system itself and the formulation itself take precedence and it didn't incorporate that idea? So far, anybody? I mean, this relates, as I want to mention, it was related to Rav Chaim. Because Rav Chaim wanted to say by shofar. Because the problem is, the thing is, the mitzvah shofar. If you look at the mitzvah shofar, it says, it's lishma kol shofar. But you see, when it comes to shofar, they talk about like being motzi someone else or something. Like, I think like maybe a woman being motzi someone else, and a man in shofar, or, you know, things like that. But it's always having to do with being motzi. When it's, I blew kol shofar, and you heard the kol shofar. So what does it have to do with being motzi? You heard the kol shofar. It's a kol shofar and you heard it. So what does it have to do with being motzi? It's not. Motzi is good when there's like an idea of like an amira or something like that. A dibor or a shmei ka'ona, that, you know. And the Rav held, or Rav Chaim held, that you have to actually have mind shmei ka'ona when you blow shofar. Because what do you mean shmei ka'ona? It's not like you're saying the shofar or you're, right. Or even if you want, because there's a thing that the blowing the shofar is like a din of like a tefillah. And it's like you're saying it. It's like you're saying something without words. You know, but that's fine, whatever. But the mitzvah is hearing. The mitzvah isn't saying. So how do you reconcile the two?
What do we reconcile?
On the one hand, so what Rav Chaim said is that shmiya, you can't have ma'isa mitzvah shmiya. You know, mitzvah has to have ma'isa mitzvah. Shmiya isn't a ma'isa mitzvah. What are you doing? You're just sitting there and listening. And it's not. It's lacking in the form of a ma'isa mitzvah. So he said the ma'isa mitzvah is tekiyah, but the kiyam is shmiya. in the Maisa is Tekiah. The Kiyam is in the Shmiah, because Tekiah has a corresponding Shmiah. So the Maisa that you have to do is the Tekiah, and that enables a Shmiah. So he said, so if someone else blows for me, so where's my Maisa Mitzvah? So my Maisa Mitzvah is because of Shmiah Kona, because it's as if I'm blowing. I mean, so that's why I have to mechavein Shmiah Kona, so it's as if I'm blowing the shofar, and then I hear it. And so, I mean, Moshe is saying it would seem, according to this logic, that it's Korea is expressing, articulating, realizing a certain idea in your mind or whatever, and that should be the case by any mitzvah of Korea or Amira or something like that. But that's where this Gemara, we're going to do it. But this Gemara doesn't equate all them. It's not, according to this Gemara, as the Gemara stands, they're the same. They are the same. And that's what we're going to get to. We're going to get to the Gemara, we're going to get to Tosfos, asks how you equate them. And we'll see. But there's the Gemara and Brachos, which we'll also hopefully get to, where Rav Yosef says it's not true. It's only Kriya Shema. It's unique. I think we may hold this as unique. But whatever. But that's not a problem if you're saying it seems like it should apply, because you're right. It does. That is certainly a position. Also, according to this logic, again, this may be a segue, but according to this logic, it would seem that according to the site who says you don't have to do Korea, you don't have to do Shmiah, it would seem to be that it's a good thing, it's a Kiyam, Lechachila you should do it, because he holds the whole objective of, that's why the Torah chose the Maisa Korea. Korea is because Korea is the action, which is an action of actualizing another person. But it's just that it didn't incorporate Shmiah because halachically he couldn't do it. In terms of what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is Kriya. But that doesn't mean that you can't have a kiyam, an extraneous kiyam of Shmiah. That's a kiyam. There's two kinds of kiyams. The kiyam of mitzvah means that is the mitzvah itself. A kiyam means a side kiyam. It's an additional enhances the mitzvah if you have a Shmiah. So that's good. It's a good thing to do because that's the whole idea of the thing. So it could be an additional, a separate kiyam, which enhances the mitzvah. It's just saying that you can't demand it because in the structure of the mitzvah itself, there's not room for it because the mitzvah, and that's it. And that is the kiyam. The mitzvah, and the kiyam are one and the same. But it does it. But lechachila, you should do it. It's a kiyam. It would be a benefit. It would be good. It would be a kiyam. So I'm just saying, it would seem the natural flow from this, and we're going to get to this. We're going to do this a little bit. The natural you'd go from here is that it would be lechachili. Even Rav Yehuda, whoever would agree lechachili should do it. Okay, it would seem so. I'd say halachically, the bottom line, the machlokes between Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda, is what is mitzvah Kriya Shema? Is mitzvah Kriya Shema simply the mitzvah, the maisa is Kriya and the kiyam is Kriya, simply Kriya one through and through? Or do you say, no, it's a maisa is Kriya, but the kiyam of mitzvah is in the shmiya of that Kriya? Now, the only thing is, this is very nice. Luckily, it's solid. But what's that based upon? It just sounds like empty. I mean, okay, that's a nice halachic formulation, but could we gain any insight into the two sides? And it just sounds like it just begs the question of what's going on here. So that's where I'm saying that I'm trying to give a little bit more of a insight into it. I mean, as a halachic definition, I'd say that's a good definition. You know what I mean? Because you're just defining what the phenomenon is. But in terms of a svara, like why you'd say it, I mean, why does it make sense? I mean, because halachic isn't just a matter of finding the formulation. What's the source? I mean, it's based upon the system of chokhmah and how it fits into the Torah. So that I'm saying is it's based upon what we're saying. That it's based upon the clash between the simplicity of the halacha versus the idea of the Talmud involved. I mean, it's interesting. It's important to differentiate, I guess, between those two. You know? But because one of them you could say in a more definitive kind of a way. I mean, the Maisa, you know, that whole thing is that's in a definitive way. Halachically, what's the Torah Chashmir? That's the Kiyam HaMitzvah. And the other side says no, there's not. There's no such thing like that. But why? I mean, in a certain sense, it's a why, but it's giving a sense to it. You know what I mean? So you're left unsatisfied if you just give that definition. But it is a definition, you know. And it's not nothing.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So based upon this far, I have a question. Okay? I have a question. Question is that the Mishnah says that a Cheresh can't read the Megillah. Okay? Cheresh can't read the Megillah. Okay? He can't read the Megillah. So why not? So it says, this is Rabbi Yossi. This is Rabbi Yossi. Because Rabbi Yossi holds that if you're not Mashmi'a La'ozno, you're not Yotzei. Right? So since a cheresh can't be mashmil ozno, so cheresh will never be able to be yotze the mitzvah of Nikur Megillah, right? Because he can't hear it. Okay. Yeah. So the question is, fine, but other people could hear it. Other people could hear it. So why can't he lay in the Megillah for me? Because he's doing a Maisa Kriya. It's not like it's not a Maisa Kriya, because it is a Maisa Kriya. It's a Maisa Kriya. It's just that he happens to not have ears to be able to accomplish the Kiyama Mitzvah. But why can't he be Motzi someone else? He's doing the Maisa Mitzvah. He's included in the Mitzvah. It just happens to be. He can't hear. It would be like it would be in a loud room, or I'm in a loud room, and I say it, and I happen to not hear it. Is there a halacha that if I'm trying to be Motzi you, and someone's holding my ears, I'm not, then you can't be Yotzai? Is that the halacha? I mean, why should that be? In other words, I'm doing a Maisa Kriya. The fact that I happen to have plugs in my ears, is that going to be Makiv Yorkiyam? I mean, so why is it that it doesn't work? Does this really explain the Mishnah? Okay. So David says maybe it's because of the principle is kol she'ein mechuyev b'davar ein motzi acher midei chavasim. That in general, if you ain't a mechuyev b'davar, so you can't be motzi someone. So he's saying that if the cheresh is in fact he can never hear it, so obviously he can't be chayev in the midst of Kriyas Megillah if he can't hear the Megillah, right? So therefore, he can't be motzi. So he's an ein mechuyev b'davar. So since he's an ein mechuyev b'davar, he can't be motzi the ra'ah. He can't be motzi someone else. Any questions on that? David's good because he's saying it's like a cheresh ad v'katan. Why can't a katan be motzi me? He could read it. I mean, you could argue then it's not even a ma'isa kriya because he's really, you know. But it's the same because he's an ein mechuyev b'davar. Ein mechuyev b'davar can't be motzi. The same thing. So the same cheresh, the same thing. I have a question. I mean, maybe you could say that, but I have a question. Let's say, for instance, a guy doesn't have an arm. Okay, doesn't have any arms. So what do you say? Is he chayv in mitzvah tefillin?
Yeah,
but
just can't do it.
Exactly. That's what I'd say. I'd say, yeah, he's chayv in mitzvah tefillin. There's no category, there's no halacha that like people in the arms are potter from certain mitzvahs. He's chayv in mitzvah tefillin. But he can't do it. I mean, the mitzvah tefillin says put tefillin on your arm, so he doesn't have an arm, so he can't do it. So unless you're on a patre. But it doesn't mean he's categorically mufka from the mitzvah. Yeah, he's not a... It's not even removed. He's chayav mitzvah like anyone else, but he just can't do it. He can't do it. I mean, if there's some sort of a patur, it doesn't mean I'm not chayav in the thing. I'm chayav. I just can't do it. So you're not held responsible for not doing it. But a patur, yeah, I'm just going to patur. But it's not like a patur in the same sense of like a woman's patur from tefillin. I mean, it's not the same thing. A woman's just not, there's no mitzvah tefillin for a woman. Exactly. It falls on him, but he can't do it. It doesn't mean every time there's an onus, there becomes a patur in the system. It just means that he's not responsible. He can't hold him responsible. So wouldn't you say, why don't you say that same thing here? Is that a cheresh is a guy that he has a mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah, and he's shaykh to Kriya, but he can't hear it. So it's a practical thing. He can't hear it. Right? So, but he's not, is he an enu mechuyev? Why is he an enu mechuyev b'davar? Is he an enu mechuyev b'davar? He's a normal Jew. He's a normal Jew, so he's a normal Jew. He should be chayiv in all the mitzvahs. So it happens to be this one, so he can't do. So therefore, he's an enu mechuyev b'davar. I'd say he's mechuyev b'davar. He happens to be he can't have kiyum mitzvahs. So he won't be yotze mikra megillah. He can't be yotze mikra megillah, but he's doing a ma'aseh kriya. He can be motzi everyone else because he's a mechuyev b'davar. Okay, so David mentions that there's in Dalam Bez and Daf Eref mentions Ramban, the Ran quoting the Ramban, who says that the principle of Einam Mechuyev B'davar, Einam Motzi Rav Medeich Avasan, doesn't mean that you're not Mechuyev B'davar, but it means anyone, not only is not Mechuyev, but anyone who can't be Motzi themselves can't be Motzi someone else. So it's relevant to Laz, if you could. Like, Loazes could read it in, a guy who knows Hebrew could read it in Laz. So he says, whatever. But that's what he says. So therefore he's saying, David's saying that maybe here, the Lecheresh can't be Motzi himself. So even if you say it's Chayev, but he can't be Motzi himself, so he can't be Motzi himself, he can't be Motzi other people. Okay, well, I just mentioned that would explain it. That would answer the question. But I said, first of all, it says simple pshat neinu mechuyev b'davar means neinu mechuyev b'davar. It doesn't just mean he can't practically be motzi himself. But it could be. So it could be there's a machlokas about that particular point. But I think also there's a simpler answer. Okay, but it's sarchian into the principle, I guess. Okay, it's a good approach. What's the difference in Megillah and in tefillin? You do sense a difference between a guy who has no arms p'tor from tefillin and a woman's p'tor from tefillin. And they seem like completely different things. But how do you define? Well, why are they different? What do you say? Just they're both p'tor. They're both p'tor. So that's the answer. Right. Good. So that's the answer. The answer makes it. But it comes because there's no class of people. There's no halacha category for armless guys. There's no class category like that. So you can't say the mitzvah of tefillin was only given to guys with arms. There's no halacha category of guys with arms. So the mitzvah of tefillin was given to a man. Okay, and all men are chayav mitzvot tefillin. That happens to be you have a problem with your arms, so you can't do it. But there's no exclusion, there's no category like that. But nashim is a category. The girl agave mitzvot, nashim is a category. And the mitzvah of tefillin was given to anashim and anashim. So that's the difference. There's a difference. So by a man can't be removed from mitzvot tefillin. He simply could be impossible for him to do it. Okay? So where does that leave us? So the question is, so what about a chayresh? What about this chayresh? What about this chayresh? Is this chayresh a halacha category, or is this not a halacha category? Okay, is this chayresh a halacha category or not a halacha category? So it is a reminiscent of that Tosos, right? Of that Tosos. Because Tosos mentions, he says, don't think that this chayresh is the same chayresh which we always talk about. Because certainly there is a chayresh in Kol Torah Kula, chayresh Adam Katan. Right? And who's that referring to? Tosos says, based on, I think, Gemara Chagiga, I believe, is it's a chayresh she'eino medaber v'eino shmeya. He's deaf and mute. So that's generically the category of a chayresh is a guy who really is not this guy. It's a guy who can't hear nor speak. So Tosa says, he quickly points out to you, that can't be what we're talking about here, because then he can't read the Megillah practically. So obviously he can't be motziu. So the whole case must be talking about a chayresh medaber v'eino shmeya, where he's only deaf and not mute. But then Tosa says, and this guy is a bikech chol dvarav except for this. He says he's regular with regard to everything except for this. So we ask the question. He says, but isn't that a funny thing that the Mishnah does then? Is that it just kind of calls him chayresh shel katan as if, like, without making a note of the fact that we're... I mean, that's not a chayresh. He's not chayresh. That's not chayresh. That's a normal guy who happens to be can't hear, but chayresh is a category. So it is kind of funny that the Mishnah does that. Isn't that like what do you see? What can you see from the fact that the Mishnah did that? But it would just seem to be what Tosas is pointing out is that, I mean, this is always funny. Like, I don't know, it's like you see a cheresh. You see a cheresh. So the Gemara would say, oh, it means a deaf mute. I mean, but that's funny. I mean, cheresh means cheresh. You know, but, you know, like, it just sounds like a funny, you know. But it could be what he's saying is when the Torah is setting up a category of cheresh, everyone's a cheresh. Okay, cheresh is everyone who's deaf. Cheresh means deaf. That's what it means. The category of cheresh is deaf. But then within that category of deaf, there is a subdivision. Okay? Well, the Torah is positing a category called cheresh. Now, within that category of cheresh, in order to set up a deaf mute, the Torah sets up a category of cheresh, and then there's a subdivision to have a cheresh. Within cheresh, there's a cheresh who speaks and a cheresh who doesn't speak, and it breaks it down. And regabe, which one is the kind which has relevance in mitzvahs in general? It's the one who is the type of cheresh, cheresh type B. It's the guy who's also a medaber. But in setting up the category of that type of a cheresh, the Torah had to recognize the institution of cheresh. So there ends up being a cheresh who is, as a category, who's a medaber. Now, in general, he's a pekeh chol dvarav. The halacha doesn't set him aside from anyone else with regard to any mitzvahs, because there's no reason to. But in this mitzvah, since the category of cheresh exists, so in this mitzvah, he becomes mufka from it. Because in this mitzvah, it becomes relevant, the idea that he's a cheresh. I mean, so, it really, he is cheresh, and like, for instance, by tefillin. By tefillin, really, tefillin, people no arms would be excluded from tefillin if there was such a person of a guy with no arms in the halachic world. Right. But there's no person like that, so Allah can't do it. He can't just start doing that. But since in Torah has a category of cheresh, and in order, it's true that the cheresh, which is normally significant, is the further subdivided cheresh, the type of cheresh who is an Eino Medaber and Eino Shomea. But once the category of cheresh exists, this is also a type of a cheresh. But the only different, the only nafkamin of this class of a cheresh is with regard to these mitzvahs. But he still is a category. He still is a category. And since he's a category, therefore he's an Eino Mechliyev Bedavar. And since he's an Eino Mechliyev Bedavar, he can't be Motzi Rav Midei Chamasa. Which mitzvah is Kriya? Any mitzvah of Kriya? And as I say, he's like, Eino Medaber and Shmei isn't just two separate things. He happens to be, first of all, he can't hear, and he also can't speak. I mean, that's not the category. I'm saying that's a type of deafness. There's two types of deafness. The type of deafness where he purely can't hear, the type of deafness where he's completely removed from the faculty of talking, speaking, the whole thing. So he can't hear and can't speak. So the way, when the Torah is setting up the Eino Bar Das, the guy who's a Cheresh, Eino Medaber and Shmei, so it's a type of a cheresh. That's why he calls it cheresh. Why does it say cheresh, cheresh via ilim or whatever? Because it's a type of deafness. Now, but once the Torah is positing the category of cheresh because of that type of deafness, but the category of Cheresh is a reality now, and therefore when it comes to the mitzvos, since there's a class of mitzvos where that other type of Cheresh is significant, so therefore it's also a category. In other words, if there were no halacha of Cheresh l'gabei kol mitzvos, it wouldn't set up a category for just the guy who can't hear. It wouldn't do it. But it's saying, since l'gabei kol mitzvos, there is this category of deaf mute, which is a type of a Cheresh, so therefore Cheresh becomes a category. And therefore, the other subdivision kind of manages to work, you know, slip his way in there and end up being a halachically recognized category because he's another type of a Cheresh. I mean, I think it's to really be certain about this, you have to look into the sugya there about. I think it's in Chagiga about what Cheresh is and what, you know. I'm just trying to see. I'm trying to deduce from that. And what I'm saying is that's what Tosis is getting at. I mean, what I'm saying is Tosis is that's what Tosis is getting at. That he's saying be careful. This type of Cheresh, I mean, he's dealing with a problem. That's what Tosis is getting into, is that there's a different kind of Cheresh, but that leaves you the question. So what is? Is this a Cheresh or not Cheresh? It is Cheresh. It's like there's two classes of Cheresh, and that's why Cheresh is a category. And therefore, you don't have to say, David, what you were saying about that Ramban or whatever. Here, no, he's really is a Gavra, is an Enim Mechliyav Adavra, because this class of mitzvahs, a Cheresh, is an Enim Mechliyav Adavra. He's a class, and since this class, mitzvahs can't possibly apply to him, because he can't hear according to Rabbi Yossi, so therefore, he's actually an Enim Mechliyav Adavra in these mitzvahs, so he can't be Motzi, anyone else?